Well, Lex has posted a breaking story in Phoenix. Again, they're seeing strange red lights in the sky. This be reminiscent of the Phoenix lights story all over again. An official from Luke Air Force Base has stated they do not have any aircraft in the sky. Let's see if they change that story. And that the lights are not part of any Air Force activity. A reporter for the Arizona Republic reported seeing four lights in a square shape that eventually became a triangular shape. The lights were moving to the east, and they disappeared one by one. She said the lights were visible for about 13 minutes. One resident north of Phoenix, who said, "I wish to remain anonymous," said that he saw four or five of the red lights lined up in a straight line and spaced apart evenly. And the lights slowly moved east and became dimmer. And then all of a sudden, three jets came from the west and traveled in the direction of the red lights. But again, Luke Air Force Base says, we don't have any up there. That story is at coasttocoastam.com under Hot Stories. Now, we'll be back in a moment with Irvin Baxter, End Time Ministries. Are we in the end times? And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Perhaps later when we take phone calls with Irvin Baxter in our last hour, we'll keep a special hotline open for those of you in the Phoenix area who might have seen these very strange-looking lights out there. Irvin Baxter, Jr., founder, president of End Time Ministries. He's an author, publisher, broadcaster, international prophecy teacher. The thrust of End Time's mission is to prove that we are now at the end of an era of human government and very near the beginning of the prophecy. He's our guest on Coast to Coast. Irvin, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Thank you so much, George. Great to be with you again.
Likewise. Been almost a couple of years.
It has been.
A couple of years. And in that time, Irvin, have things changed to the point where you're convinced more than ever that we're in the mists of end times?
Yes, things have sped up so dramatically that it's almost breathtaking, frankly. There is as much prophetic fulfillment happening right now as used to happen in a century. Sometimes we're seeing that in 1 year. It's amazing, really.
Now, you stated that 2008 may be one of the greatest years of prophetic fulfillment in 2,000 years. What does that mean?
Well, there are four major prophecies that are converging right now, and these prophecies are not little insignificant prophecies. They are major prophecies of the Bible. They are prophecies that in normal times, if you had one every century, it would be an unusual event. However, we have four converging, and they're all converging this year in 2008. And that's the reason I say that this looks like it will be the most important year prophetically in the last 2,000 years since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Let's take some time to go through each one of these four, if you would.
Well, let me give everybody an overview. We're talking about a prophecy that every person on earth will be given a number, and they'll need this number in order to participate in the economy. Most people would know this prophecy as the mark of the beast. It's interesting that 186 nations out of 192 either have a national ID system set up now or we'll have one by 2010. Now, we're talking about almost every nation on earth is now moving into this national ID system, and this is the numbering and the registration and the tracking of all human beings that will make this prophecy possible for the first time. The second prophecy we're going to be talking about when we talk about these four prophecies converging is the Middle East Peace Treaty. President Bush is going to be flying to Israel on May the 14th, and he claims he's going to be signing something there. We're watching tremendously accelerated activity in Middle East peacemaking. He claims before the end of this year they will sign a treaty, and that treaty appears to be mentioned in the Bible as the event that will trigger the final 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon. So that alone is huge within itself. The third prophecy is the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire. The Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet will come out of this reborn Holy Roman Empire, and the ratification for the treaty that marks the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is happening this year. If it's successful, and they think it will be, in 2009, they will elect the first European president, and they'll have the first European foreign minister. It will virtually become a United States of Europe, and we're going to show tonight that it is the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire. And then the last one is a prophecy that a war is coming that will kill one-third of mankind. It starts from the area of the Euphrates River. 70% of the Euphrates is in Iraq. We have 170,000 men right now. All four of those things, plus other things, but all four of those things are in the scriptures, and it looks like they're all converging this year. So it's absolutely amazing.
Okay, Irvin, of the 2 hours we've got for just pure interviews with you before we get to the last hour of phone calls, let's take these four and digest them. We'll do two an hour here. And first of all, of course, the national ID system, the mark of the beast. So many people have heard the number 666 in the Bible, or that's what they interpret it. I've heard that there could be another number, 621 maybe, or something like that.
Actually, they're saying 616. They found a few ancient manuscripts that went with 616. However, in a recent magazine of ours, we did a complete article on that. And after research with the person on our staff that is our best Greek scholar, he came to the conclusion that those manuscripts have been overwhelmingly discredited in light of the ones who that say 666. So it's my opinion, it should be 666.
Now, is the number important, or does it merely represent this Mark of the Beast national ID system, which we're going to talk about now? Do we have to find a code, Irvin, that shows 666 in order for it to be accurate?
Yes, the Bible says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. It's not going to be 666 on anyone's hand or forehead. It's going to be a name or a mark of some sort that we will be able to decipher as being 666. I don't claim to have that deciphered right now. I will tell you one thing that's interesting, though. The original Greek that was translated 666 is ki zi stigma. And the word stigma in the Greek means to prick or to puncture with a mark denoting ownership. There are a lot of people that are promoting the injection of a computer chip under the skin with a needle, in order to be the ultimate form of national ID so that you can't lose it, so it will be with you from womb to tomb, and everybody will be tracked that way. Everybody will have their own ID. If that, in fact, comes to pass, and there are a couple of thousand people on Earth that already have it, then that would be a chilling fulfillment of key Z stigma. I don't know the answer to that one for sure.
I don't know if anybody's Social Security number starts with a 666 or not. I don't know if they go up that high or they start that high, but that would be interesting to also check into.
Well, somehow, when it all comes down, now we have an example of some of the way it could be. I don't believe this is the answer, but in the crown of the Pope, the triple crown tiara, there is an inscription, Vicarius Filii Dei, which is Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. If you take the letters in that inscription that have Roman numeral value, like a V is 5, an I is 1, a C is 100, if you take all of those and add them up, they do come up to 666. I do not believe that the Pope is going to be the Antichrist. However, I do believe that he will have a relationship with the Antichrist, and I don't think that's the answer to the 666 riddle, but it's interesting that it does come up to 666 nonetheless.
Now, this national ID system, you believe it is tied into this Mark of the Beast?
Absolutely, because the Bible prophesied 2,000 years ago that a time will come when every person will have a mark or a number, and they'll need that in order to buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to worship the world governmental system and the world beast, or else they will withhold the number. They're going to use economic pressure to force compliance to the new world order system. Now, we can already see this happening, because right now, if a nation does not comply to the edicts of the UN Security Council, they place economic sanctions against that nation, like we have three levels of sanctions right now against Iran. So the idea is, let's choke them down economically and force them to bow the knee to the world governmental framework. Well, that's happening on a national basis now. The Bible says it will happen on an individual basis. And that can only happen when everybody in the world has a number and you're in a database, so that if they invalidate your number, you can't buy or sell. I was looking at an article today. There's a law before the Congress right now called the SAVE Act, S-A-V-E.
Yes.
And it deals with employment eligibility verification. And you're going to have to be in the national database, because when you apply for a job, it's going to be the law that your employer has to check your number against that national database. If you're not there, it's illegal to employ you. Now, if you can't hold a job, how much buying and selling can you do without a job?
That's
so the
right.
government is removing right now to get control of this, to put all of us in the database. And we can foresee the day that if a person holds ideology that maybe would be an insult to the New World Order or the One World Governmental System, maybe they could say, okay, we're going to mark those numbers, and they won't be able to work either until they submit to, until they come to their senses and conform. So that's the way it looks like it's going, and there is a law right now that could be passed within a week or two.
Well, and we also know that the federal government is at odds with some states over the National ID Act, with the president basically saying, hey, May 2008, you have to comply or you're not going to be able to use your driver's license to get through to get on a plane.
You know, George, we've been fighting this since before the law was passed. We printed a special edition of End Time Magazine in 06. We sent a copy to every senator, every congressman, to the president with a cover letter from myself saying, please, Mr. President, this is in the Bible. You claim to be a Christian. Take a look at this. This is the worst law that's ever been passed in the history of this nation. It will become the mark of the beast because it creates the mechanism whereby this would be administered. You know, I have to tell everybody, George, that this is a 2,000-year-old prophecy, but it could only happen now. Only right now have we had the technology since the invention of the computer, since
that's
the
true.
Birth of the Internet. Only now could we do this. But we all know it can now be done. You can operate almost totally with just a number.
What do we do if they force us? Let's say the chip is the number, and they force us to have this implantable chip in us, or we can't buy. We can't go to a bank. We can't get by. I've been on this program, Irvin. I've said I'm not getting a chip. People have called. They've said they're not getting the chip. Catherine Albrecht, who's done a lot of work for us in this area, says she's not getting the chip. But what do we do when they merely say you either get an implanted chip or you can't function starting May of 2010 or 2012 or whenever the date is? What do we do as people?
Well, first of all, it is going to happen. It's not a question of if it happens.
That forcing, you mean?
The Bible says it is going to happen, that you're going to have to do this or else you will be frozen out of the economy, and some people will even be killed where the persecution is the heaviest. We have evidence that there are some nations that will not participate in this. We want America to be one of those nations. But most of the nations of the world are going to participate in this. And if a person complies, when it comes down to the point of pledging allegiance either to the Antichrist or to his one world governmental system, when that's the condition for getting your number to be able to function, if you do that, the Bible says you will be eternally damned. And so there will be people who will say, no, I'm not doing it, and they will be killed. It'll be a revival of religious persecution. In the Bible, it's called the Great Tribulation. And it's going to happen. It's not a question of maybe it will happen. It's going to happen. And we can already see the seeds of it starting to bite in right now. Because anybody that doesn't conform to the global ethic and the belief system that all religions are equally valid, they're already being frowned on. For example, in Germany, they recently have taken kids away from their parents because they were homeschooling them. They said the state has an overriding interest in making sure that all of the young people interface with all their peers so that we don't have these alternative mindsets.
Right.
California just did the same thing. A judge out there ruled. Now, that's on appeal. But he ruled that the homeschoolers out there, 200,000 of them, are invalid. And so this thing is creeping up on us right now.
And you're saying that this will be a worldwide effort, not just something here in the United States?
No, actually, the United States is behind the times. Many nations have had a national ID for a long time. They already use it. You can't open a bank account without it. You can't rent a hotel room without it. You can't rent a car without it. Many of them, if you get stopped on the street and the police ask for your ID and you don't have it, you go straight to jail.
Straight to jail?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Now, one could say in this country, the Social Security number is your national ID number. We can't get a job without it. That seems to be functioning okay, isn't it?
Well, actually, the reason we have today's problem is because it wasn't stopped when the Social Security number was given. There were protests from religious people back in 1935 when Social Security came out, and the original card said not to be used for identification. But somewhere along the line, that writing disappeared. I have some of those original cards. People have brought them to me. And it says right there, not to be used for identification. But, of course, we all know that's a joke now. You can't even function without your Social Security
number. You can't get a mortgage without sending a copy of your Social Security card and your driver's license because of Homeland Security.
And so now you can't get a driver's license without giving a certified birth certificate, without giving a picture that's digital with biometric identification. And all of the states are going to be required to enter this information into a database, and then they're required to link that database with the databases of the other 149 states, creating a national database. And, you know, Homeland Security likes to say, this is not a national ID. Here's my reply. Number one, is it an ID? Of course it is. Everybody will admit that.
Sure.
Second question, was it passed by a state law, a city law, a county law, or a national law?
And they'll say national law.
It's a national law. So it's a national ID.
Yeah, I agree.
So it is a national ID, and furthermore, they will say, well, there's not going to be any national database. However, in the immigration bill that was defeated, thankfully, June of last year, Homeland Security wrote an entire section of that bill, and they called for employment eligibility verification. And it said right there, there will be a national database maintained by Social Security and Homeland Security. And when you go in to apply for a job, every employee will have to have a card reader. You swipe your ID card. It checks your ID at the national database. If you're not there, it's illegal to employ you. And so this is not something that may come someday. This is something they tried to pass. It was defeated because of those particular features of the bill. Senators Tester and Baucus from Montana led the charge, and this went down to defeat. So now then they brought it back in the form of the SAVE Act, which is under consideration right now. We're fighting that battle right now because they've got the same employment eligibility verification, and they want desperately to be able to put every one of us in a database because they need to control who can work and who cannot. Well, the problem is control and freedom are opposite terms. Our America was based on government of the people, by the people, for the people, self-control, not governmental control. But we've moved a long way. The government is reaching right now for the jugular, and we're almost to the end of freedom here in America.
That's prophecy number one. We'll get into prophecy number two right after the break. End times, isn't it in the long run, Irvin? Isn't it a good thing?
Well, it is going to be good, but it's going to be bad before it's good.
It's going to be a rocky road, isn't it?
Yeah. The Bible teaches that the events that are coming at us right now are a precursor to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And between now and then, there's going to be a lot of persecution. It's going to be a full-scale war between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Ultimately, the United Nations is going to invade Jerusalem and try to bring Israel under its control. That's the event that will trigger the Battle of Armageddon.
All right, and we'll talk about that next hour. But isn't it true that it doesn't matter what happens, because it's in Revelation, it's going to happen? It can't be stopped, can it?
Well, it cannot be stopped worldwide, but any nations that it does not specifically state that nation will embrace this, there's a chance we could opt out, because there are two nations specifically prophesied that will not participate. One is Jordan, one is Israel. We happen to be good friends to Jordan and Israel. There's another prophecy that states that the Antichrist will fight wars during the last 3.5 years of his reign. I want America to be one of the opponents to the Antichrist, not one of the cooperators. Right now, we're on the wrong track, but we'd like to reverse that.
All right, stay with us. Irvin Baxter, End Times, next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, have you picked up the After Dark newsletter yet? Well, you can, and when you do, you'll get the J.C. Webster CD, the J.C. that you all know and love. When you renew and subscribe to After Dark, call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Prophecy number two, Irvin Baxter, has to do with the Middle East. Let's talk about that.
This is interesting, George, because this is one of the few prophecies that has a date on it. The Bible says when this prophecy happens, you can set your calendar and there will be 7 years to Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The prophecy is called the Confirmation of the Covenant, and it simply says that the world community and the Antichrist, who leads that world community, will confirm the Abrahamic Covenant for a seven-year period. The Abrahamic Covenant is God's promise to Abraham that his people, Israel, will occupy the promised land. So it's the Antichrist confirming Israel's right to exist in the Holy Land. Obviously, that's being contested right now. President Ahmadinejad of Iran is saying every time he gets within 10 feet of a microphone, Israel is going to be wiped off the map. But at the same time, Israel is still there, and President Bush is leading the charge to finally get an agreement. I think people should really know what's happened, because in early 2007, President Bush made a decision that the crowning achievement of his presidency would not be Iraq, but hopefully it would be peace in the Middle East.
Well, we know it won't be Iraq, no matter what he tries to do at this point. No.
But he sent Condoleezza Rice to Israel 8 times in the first 9 months of 2007. He then announced there would be a peace conference in Annapolis, Maryland, which happened on November the 27th of 07. There were 46 nations that came there, including many of the Arab nations. Mahmoud Abbas and Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, signed what was called the Annapolis Declaration, and they agreed that they would try with all their might to sign a deal settling all outstanding issues before the end of 2008. We're in 2008 now. Now, remember, this is a prophecy with a date on it. When this happens, this thing called the Confirmation of the Covenant, that marks the beginning of the final 7 years. President Bush says he's sure it will happen this year. He was in Israel for the first time of his presidency in January. He's already going back in May. King Abdullah and Mahmoud Abbas is coming to the White House in the next couple of days to meet with him. They're on fast track right now. They're trying to finish this deal. And Condoleezza Rice even said that she thought they may sign something while President Bush was in Israel May the 14th, celebrating the 60th birthday of the Nation of Israel. Then he scheduled a summit for May 16 and 17 with all the leaders of the Middle East. It looks like they're trying to sign something now. I don't know whether they'll get that done or not, but I heard with my own ears President Bush say, "I believe we will have a deal before I leave office." So if they get that done, and if it settles the final borders of Israel, if it settles the dispute over the Temple Mount, then that will be the event called the Confirmation of the Covenant, and that will start that final 7 years, which will be the most jam-packed 7 years with prophetic fulfillment in the history of the entire world.
So what you're saying, Irvin, though, is a Middle Eastern peace is not necessarily bad, but it's part of the countdown to end times.
Yes, it is. The Bible says that once that peace agreement is signed, one of the things it will do is to place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement. The Bible specifically says this. There will be a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. It's referred to in Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2. It's referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And in the Revelation passage, John was told, measure the temple, but don't measure the outer court of the temple, because that's going to be under Gentile control. When President Clinton was sponsoring the peace talks between Barack and Arafat in 2000 at Camp David, they got stuck on the Temple Mount issue. And President Clinton said, well, just share it. Well, when he said that, he was proposing exactly what the Bible says is ultimately going to happen. And all the people involved in this process have now agreed that's the only possible solution. The Jews are not going to forever surrender the center of their life, and the Arabs are never going to surrender the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So they're saying, let's just share it. That's what is going to happen. Now, when that was proposed by Clinton, Arafat said, we'll kill each other. Jews and Arabs can't coexist on the same 35 acres. And Barack said, I've got the answer. Let's put it under UN control. And the UN can keep the peace, and we all can go worship there together. Well, the Bible prophesies that the leader of the one world governmental system is going to stand on the Temple Mount and claim to be the ultimate authority there. When he does that, that will happen 3.5 years before Armageddon. This is all laid out in the timeline. And when you see it, you can almost see it coming. 2 weeks ago, the first Passover sacrifice that's been approved by the Israeli courts was offered in Israel It was a rehearsal for Passover. This is Passover week right now, and many of the families of Israel are killing lambs this year. That always has been objected to by the animal rights activists. They took the Temple Institute and the Sanhedrin to court, and the court ruled in favor, saying this is a legitimate religious exercise as long as you do it in a humane way. And so they're killing lambs all over Israel right now, and they've requested that they can go onto the Temple Mount and do it. I doubt that they allow that this year, but they're breaking down the barriers, and they're moving very close to the time when there will be a temple built, and it'll be part of this peace agreement. Either that or they won't get an agreement.
Now, what are others saying about the possibility, then, of what is happening in the Middle East, that this could be part of the trigger?
Well, the scripture is crystal clear. The Antichrist will confirm the covenant for 7 years. Then, in the middle of that seven-year period, he's going to cause the sacrifice to stop. A lot of people say, that can't come to pass. There are no sacrifices. Well, that was true until 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But we've known for a long time that they were going to resume the animal sacrifices. The other thing of interest that happened in October of 2004, they reconstituted the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was the highest Jewish court. It's the court that condemned Jesus to die, that put the apostles on trial. They have now reconstituted that court because Maimonides, the most famous Jewish teacher in the last 2,000 years, had prophesied that the Sanhedrin would be reborn and then the temple would be rebuilt. Well, that happened in 2004. In 2005, at their monthly meeting, the Sanhedrin decided to go ahead and start the construction of the temple off-site. They now have the temple drawings. I don't know whether they're completed yet. I'm leaving for Israel next Monday, and I'll find out when I'm there. But they now have the temple drawings almost done or done, and they have all the furniture now completed. They have all the furniture. I'm talking about the table of shewbread, the altar of incense. They've got the brazen altar, the laver where the priests are to wash. I've seen it with my own eyes. I go through the Temple Institute every year when I go to Israel. They are prepared for the rebuilding of the temple. So, and the interesting thing is, this is supposed to happen right before the implementation of the Mark of the Beast. So we can see this worldwide numbering system being set up right now. We can see them negotiating right now, and President Bush is going within the next couple of weeks to Israel to try to pull this thing together. He says it will happen before the end of this year. We also can see the other prophecies. They're all happening in 2008, and that's what's so astounding. And, George, I hope this is okay, but we've actually, this is so important, we've put together a tape on each of these four prophecies. Actually, it's four DVDs, and we call it our 2008 prophecy package because this is the biggest thing that's happened in 2,000 years, and it's all converging in 2008. So I think everybody in the whole world needs to know about it.
What is your website, Irvin?
It's endtime.com, endtime.com, and also our phone number is 800-END-TIME. So if you can remember End Time, you can get it.
When the book of Revelation was put together back many, many, many years ago, what gave them that vision? I mean, who told the writers to write that?
Well, God did. Actually, God is the author of the book of Revelation. He's also the author of the book of Daniel, even though they were written 700 years apart. It's one of the most astounding things. In Daniel chapter 7, there's a prophecy of all the nations that will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. The prophecy was given in a vision to Daniel, and Daniel saw four beasts, a lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a leopard, and a ten-horned beast. God used animals at the time that would have relevance at the time of the fulfillment. It says in the chapter, these beasts are nations that will arise out of the earth. In the context of the prophecy, you can prove they will be the nations on earth at the time of the second coming. Well, there just happen to be four mighty nations today, and that's their official animal symbols. For example, the symbol of Great Britain is the lion. In the Webster's International Dictionary, under lion, it says the symbol of a country, Great Britain. In downtown London, Trafalgar Square, they have big lions every way. The second symbol was the bear. There's a major nation today whose symbol is the bear. As a matter of fact, the new president of Russia just elected. His name officially means bear. And he, of course, takes Vladimir Putin's place. Then the lion had eagle's wings. There's a major nation whose symbol is the eagle today. And we all know that, of course, the United States of America. And the eagle's wings were depicted in 550 BC as growing out of a lion. Where did the United States of America come from?
Mm-hmm.
We came from Great Britain. And then Daniel said, I watched until the wings were broken off from the lion. In 550 BC, he saw the Declaration of Independence that it would occur in 1776 AD. Now, the point I'm making is, if you take all those symbols, that's in Daniel written in 550 BC, and go to Revelation chapter 13, the exact same symbols are used, only this time they're used different. Instead of being four separate beasts, there's one beast with the body of the leopard, the feet of the bear, the mouth of the lion, the ten horns of the ten-horned kingdom. I didn't explain the whole thing there in Daniel, but that's the other components that were there in Daniel. All of those things are carried over into Revelation 13, but now they're merged into one, showing that all these powers ultimately end up going into a one-world governmental system. But the interesting thing is, the eagle's wings are not in Revelation 13. We get dropped out some way.
Have you interpreted what wormwood means in the book of Revelation?
Yes, I have. I had an interesting experience with that. I had heard when the Chernobyl nuclear accident occurred in 1986, I started hearing rumors that the Russian word for wormwood was Chernobyl. And there in Revelation chapter 8, it talks about a star by the name of Wormwood falling into the earth, and the waters were made bitter, and many men died because of the waters. Well, I was writing my course. We have a prophecy course called Understanding End Time, and I was writing that course trying to give people a basic understanding of the prophecies of the Bible. And while I was writing that course alone in my office, it's like something spoke to me. It wasn't audible. It was just in my mind. And said, you know that rumor you're hearing about Chernobyl? I want you to check that out. And I said, God, I'm busy. I've got to get this done. I'm behind on my deadlines. And I'm just telling you what happened. You can take this with a grain of salt. But
sure.
It's like the voice said to me, it won't take you any time. Call the library. They'll do the work for you. And in frustration, I have opened my drawer of my desk, pulled out the phone book, looked up the library number, called, asked to speak to the reference librarian, and said to her, ma'am, I have heard a rumor that the Russian word for wormwood is Chernobyl. Is there any way you could research that for me and let me know if that's true? And she said, it is true, because the word Chernin is black. And the Russians took wormwood, it turned their tongues black, and they started calling it Chernobyl. And she rattled off the most terrible line of information I ever heard. And after she was done, I said, ma'am, I'm going to be writing an article on this. Could you give me documentation for what you've just said? She said, I'll call you back. In 20 minutes, she called me back. She had the books. She had the page numbers. And before I hung up, I, of course, thanked her. And then I said, one more thing. It's not normal. You would have known all this off the top of your head. How'd you know all this? She said, I'm working on my doctorate in Russian right now, and I've been studying these things.
There you go.
So I believe with all my heart that God led me to, because it unlocked the whole trumpets in the book of Revelation to me. Once I realized that the Ukrainian word for wormwood is Chernobyl, when the nuclear explosion happened, the world's worst nuclear accident ever.
And again, this is a timing period for us, right? When you hear wormwood and it's Chernobyl, it's almost like a clock, isn't it?
That means the third trumpet has sounded.
Okay.
Now, if that's
okay.
True, that means the second trumpet has sounded. So I went back to the second trumpet because in the second trumpet, one-third of the ships that were in the sea were destroyed. And there was also a huge mountain rising up out of the sea. And I thought, what in the world is that? And one day I was thinking about World War II. 52 million died in World War II. I thought, I wonder how many ships were destroyed and how many participated. I sent my research assistant off the library. She came back. She said there were 326,000 ships that participated in World War II, and 105,000 were destroyed or something like that. I said, Kathy, did you cook the books? I didn't ask you to go cook the books because it was right on one-third, just what the prophecy said. She said, no, the librarian helped me, and that's what the answer was. And then it says, I saw this great mountain as it were burning with fire rising up out of the sea. I thought, what could that be? And I thought of an atomic mushroom cloud. The first atomic bomb was dropped in World War II. It all fit perfectly. And that's when I decided that the second trumpet was World War II, the third trumpet was Chernobyl, and then, of course, there are some other explanations about the rest of those trumpets. We put out a video on it called The Seven Trumpets. But anyway, it's all happening right now.
How many people would refute this, Irvin, if you had a roundtable discussion? Would there be anybody who's, and again, let's take out the non-believers because they'll be skeptical about everything. Are there people who believe in end times who would say, no, this is not the time? Is that happening?
Yes, of course it is. There's a thinking out there, a belief system out there called preterism. The word preterist means past. They believe all the prophecies are past. They believe that the Battle of Armageddon happened in 70 A.D. and that everything in the book of Revelation is fulfilled up to chapter number 19. Well, the problem with that is, if they believe the Battle of Armageddon happened in 70 A.D., there's a description of the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 16. It says the Euphrates River will be dried up to make way for the kings of the east to come down against Israel for the Battle of Armageddon. Number one, the Euphrates was never dried up. But more importantly, who destroyed Israel, who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D.? It was the Romans.
Right.
So were the Romans from the east? No. They're from due west.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not the kings of the east, and that was not Armageddon. So that whole theory is gone.
Well, I guess it's kind of jolting, I guess, to feel as if we are that close.
But you know, George, it's exciting. This is the greatest time to be alive. If I were not alive right now, I would be so bummed out. Because
why
I'd be missing all the exciting things. You know, this is it. This is the culmination of everything.
Do we want to go through this?
I do. And it's going to be tough, but at the same time, it's going to be the greatest time of revival. There will be two things happen. Most of the world is going to follow the Antichrist and his false religious system and his one-world government. But there's going to be other people that are going to listen to these prophecies and say, hey, I see this. I understand what's going on. And so we're going to have two movements, one toward the Antichrist, one back to biblical Christianity, and that's the part I want to be with.
Well, I want to be along there with you, going at least the right way.
you know what we've done? We've put up our website, and we've got hundreds of hours of material teaching all these things, because once you see it, after a while, the information becomes so cumulative that it becomes undeniable. I mean, we're just scratching the surface tonight, but we've got 100-some hours on DVD out there showing these incredible prophetic fulfillments that are they're undeniable.
If it's happening now, that means the Antichrist is here, right?
Yes, absolutely. He's on Earth right now. I do not claim to know who he is. Here's what the Antichrist will do, though. He will be involved in this Middle East peace process. So, we may know his name. Let me give you, and I'm not good at naming the Antichrist.
But again, we may not know who he is.
Yeah, I don't
know. Or she, right?
Yes.
Or is it
well,
a he?
It calls him the man of sin. And so if the scriptures are gender faithful, then it's going to be a man. That can be argued. But let me give you an example. Tony Blair left being the Prime Minister of Great Britain last year.
Right.
Within a few days, he was appointed special envoy from the world governmental system to the Middle East by the Quartet, the people that put together the plan for the Middle East called the Roadmap for Peace. So now that's his position. The Bible says the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and that means he's going to be very much involved in the peace process. Now, the second thing that's interesting is we're going to be talking about this in the next segment, but the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is going to result in a Mr. Europe, a president that will represent all the 27 nations of Europe. Now they're saying he's the front runner for that. And the Bible says the Antichrist will come out of that reborn Holy Roman Empire. I'm not ready to anoint him the Antichrist. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to tarnish his name because I don't know. But I'm just giving you this is one possibility that you have to look at here.
Irvin, when we come back, we'll talk about prophecy number three of four. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.